This is CliffCentral.com.
It was the last day of her dream New York trip. Experiencing New York through her eyes was like reintroducing myself to the city. While this is a true story, let's call her Kim to protect her identity. Kim and I planned this for approximately 10 months. But Kim had dreamt about this trip to New York for a lifetime. From the time we landed, she did everything she had seen in Sex and the City, from shopping at Manolo Blahnik for her perfect pair of heels to skipping through Central Park. But it was her trip to the New York Times that seemed to tip the emotional tear bucket. We walked from the office of the New York Times and tears flowed down her cheeks like a river. Kim is a journalist, and as a South African woman, New York is her mecca. We walked 7 blocks back to our hotel, and she flopped on the bed and cried like a baby. Of course, I thought I did something wrong, but it turns out she was simply overwhelmed and didn't want to return home. With less than 24 hours remaining in New York, she got up off the bed. She wiped her tears away and said she wanted to buy a gift for me as a thank you. I first said no, but after she pressed matters, I relented and we headed over to Foot Locker. As a sneakerhead, the Foot Locker in Times Square is like walking into the holiest of holies. I've never really been big on gifts and that type of thing. Okay, maybe I'm lying. But this was a special moment. As we step in to Foot Locker, she says, "Choose any pair." As she utters this heavenly statement, a young 20-year-old from the Bronx walks over and says, "Can I help you?" in his strong New York accent. He shows us this beautiful pair of Nike Air Max. But it wasn't the shoe so much, it was the technology in the shoe that would change our lives. It was the summer of 2009, and Nike had introduced its Nike Plus running technology with a chip inside of the shoe that connected to your phone and a Nike app. He explained how we could create competitions between each other and race with groups. So she also purchased a pair. When we returned to South Africa, we set our first goal with our new Air Max shoes. The first goal was whoever ran the most kilometers in the first week was able to sit back and relax while the other cooked. What was fascinating about this entire experience was I hated running. So much so that when I ran, it bothered my knees. And I was always one of those persons that said, "Who are you running from?" A few months later, I fell so in love with running that I wrote in my third book a whole chapter about running. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show exploring the link between human and brand behavior, how people impact brands and brands impact people. Today, we explore how to move people into action from their position of complacency towards your brand or towards any social goal. I knew I needed to get in shape, but my gym membership had been a waste of money. It was only when my brain was triggered into pleasure mode that I began doing something I hated. What fundamentally changed my life was that it wasn't something negative, like the fear of gaining a stomach or gaining some sort of disease that got me into running. It was a deep region of the brain called the midbrain, the pleasure centers, had been triggered, and now I had a goal. I had a reward. I had a pleasure potential that lifted me from my place of complacency towards running. And this episode today is going to explore specifically how to influence others and influence yourself by understanding your brain. Now, as you know, throughout this show, the Brain and Brand Show, it's all about making that connection. So if you are a brand ambassador, you are a brand custodian, or you're a brand director, or you are in charge of people, there are people who work for you, and you need to get people moving towards you, or you need to move people in any direction whatsoever, this is the show for you. I came across Dr. Tale Sharrett's latest book, The Influential Mind. Dr. Sharrett is the Associate Professor of Cognitive Neuroscience at University College London, where she directs the Affective Brain Lab, exploring the why of human behavior. You know I have a thing for neuroscientists. And Dr. Sharrett is a neuroscientist who wrote the book, the first book I came across, The Optimism Bias, and why the brain is highly optimistic, almost to its detriment at times. But what I found about this book that I fell completely in love with, The Influential Mind, is that it really went to the core of human behavior and how to get people to overcome resistance. Oftentimes, we launch social media campaigns, and we try to get people interested in what we're doing, and we think we've put out every possible antidote. We've put out every possible strategy, everything we could possibly do, and nothing is working. Dr. Sharrett opens her book with a really wonderful story after she goes past this Trump-Ben Carson story where President Trump tells a story about autism that wasn't really scientifically correct, but people believed him more than Ben Carson because Ben Carson's story was too scientific. It was too much based on facts. But Trump employed the influence principles of the mind by telling a powerful story about how kids get pressed with needles. And this touched so many parents and even people. Dr. Sharrett herself says that even though she knew better, the picture of the story influenced her to such an extent that she had to really even think about it. So when she opened this book with this powerful idea of how the mind works, I was already gripped. And then she moved into this wonderful case study about hospital workers and why only 30% were washing their hands. What was fascinating is she chronicled this research, this case study, about how they tried just about everything to get hospital workers to wash their hands. They even literally had these hospital workers video recorded, and they told them you were going to be filmed when you walk into the bathroom, and if you do not wash your hands, you will be seen on camera. She gave the backstory, and the backstory is that across the world, some studies show in places where sanitation is really important, we only get about 5% of the population using soap and water properly. In the hospital, only 30% were washing your hands. And they had put on the wall previously that if you do not wash your hands, you can spread disease. Dr. Sharrett breaks down in the book that the primary reason why people weren't washing their hands is that when there's something negative that's supposed to be the incentive, if you do not wash your hands, then what happens is disease is spread. This is negative. So what the study showed, that the only way they were able to get people to wash their hands was by showing them that when they wash their hands, that they contributed to the counter, which grew. And there was a digital counter there that every time you washed your hands, someone washed their hands, the counter and the clock went up. So they could physically see themselves contributing to the clock counter going up. And that triggered the pleasure and reward center in the brain, which got them excited about being part of growing that number. And then Dr. Sharrett sort of explains in the book this beautiful phenomenon about how if there's something negative, you use something negative, like if you have a child and you say to this child, look, it's cold outside. And if you do not put on a coat, you're going to get sick. This is negative. Instead, she documents how by showing the child something pleasurable or painting a pleasurable picture, you trigger the reward center and the pleasure centers of the brain. So by saying to the child, if you put on a coat, you're going to feel warm and fuzzy. That child's brain starts to light up and the desire to put on a coat is natural versus a fight to put on a coat. The same thing happened, obviously, with the hospital workers. The beauty and the pleasure of seeing this number go up caused them to wash their hands, and they got up to 90% compliance, and they were able to replicate this study several times. And what's fascinating about this, whether you are director of a brand or whatever you're doing and you want to get people to move forward, you've got to paint positive pictures. She also chronicled in the book that people who have crowdsourcing campaigns or people who want others to contribute to their cause, if you put up photos and images that are negative, showing sad looking kids or kids with flies swirling around their head, you're less likely to get people to give than if you put up positive images where the messaging is, if you give to this cause, this will be the result. Look at this beautiful photo. Look at this, how this beautiful community will turn out. This community can be this if you contribute versus look how bad it is. Please give to this. These are powerful lessons. And go back, and I want everybody to go back, look at your team, look at the people around you, engage, and look at what are the positive stories and the positive messages that show people how they can be part of this positive movement. If you want more people to listen to what you have to say, paint the positive picture and how they fit in. If you are listening to this and you have friends that you want to move forward and you want them to go to gym, instead of saying, you're going to die if you don't go to gym, say to them, I can see how beautiful you will look. I can see how masculine tone you will look if you go to gym. And then when they go to gym, trigger their reward center of the brain to show them and document their progress. By giving people and kids and anyone positive feedback, positive reinforcement, you trigger the same region of the brain. I think you get the point. Here's a brand, Discovery, who has employed this technique. Instead of them saying, join this Discovery program because we'll help you make sure you don't get sick, they incentivize the brain. They employ these principles by every time you swipe your card or you engage at the gym or you buy certain fruits and veggies, you get more points. So what happens is you get excited about this process. You see the points accumulating and you want to be a part of it because the pleasure potential is there. The picture is clear, it's positive, and I can see where we're going with this. In Dr. Sherrod's book, The Influential Mind documents how the way this is framed is called the trigger or the yes response. The yes response is when there is positive potential reward, we get excited about moving forward. If you paint a negative picture as your desired incentive, if you say you need to do this because something bad is going to happen, then what that does is trigger the no response. And Dr. Sherrod does an extraordinarily eloquent job of making this book really fascinating. I wish I could give a full-on review of the book, but what I found really interesting is that she broke down the scientific basis of what happens in the brain and how sort of the blood flows and the chemicals flow through the brain when this trigger happens. And simply put, I'm not going to give you the neurological basis of this, but here's the bottom line. Paint a positive picture and show people how their contribution brings the picture alive. In every single brand campaign and everything you want people to do, whether you want them to be more engaged at your company, you want them to buy into your brand idea, create campaigns that show people how they create life in the campaign, how their contribution makes a fundamental difference in a positive light, and watch how things start to shift. I've already started employing this with my sister and people around me. I've started showing them, and I've started changing my language to speak towards their specific growth. I've showed them in my stories moving from A to B, and I'm amazed at how people start responding so quickly. And I want you to go with me on this journey, because over the next few months, I want to do this when it comes to my books. I'm going to do this when it comes to my talks and all aspects of my work, including this podcast. So share this podcast. Note, watch what I'm doing now. Share this podcast with your friends and see them come alive. See them become more enriched and watch them grow and prosper by listening to the concepts in this podcast from thinkers from around the world. Bottom line is, paint positive pictures. Kim is still a journalist. We're good friends. According to the Trump, the New York Times is failing. Thank you, Dr. Sharup, for your extraordinary work. Keep doing work like this. We're going to figure it out. Or maybe not. But the bottom line is, it's a whole lot of fun when you have research this exciting. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Brain and Brand Show. Tune in next week as we bring you more brain and brand science ideas. I am your host, Timothy Maurice. You can go to my website, www.timothymaurice.com. You can email me for bookings@timothymaurice.com. We'll be back next week with the next episode.
This is CliffCentral.com.